Welcome one, welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 25. It's on its way. Red 5 standing by. That's the title of this one, as we are standing by, ready to go to Gen Con 2016 in Indianapolis. So we're super excited. Hey everybody, welcome to Portal Gaming Podcast. If you don't know, Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. And for more information, you can log on to our website, www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook under The Portal. I am your host for the podcast, The Brant, and with me, as always, is...
your co-host, Brian.
And we are excited to bring this episode to our 25th episode. Look at that, Brian. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's there a lot.
Yeah, going strong. Over a year here. We were just doing some episodes before Gen Con last year and going to Gen Con for the first time. And here we are getting ready to go for the second time. So
yeah,
a lot of this episode will be about that, Gen Con and all that stuff. So that's why I kind of put the red five standing by, because we're excited. We want to bring information to you whatever way we can. We're going to test all sorts of games and find stuff to bring back and let people know what's hot, what's not, what's good, what's bad, what's great, what's awesome, what's amazing, and all that stuff. So stay tuned for more on that front. And here we are in the middle of summer. It's hot.
Yeah, it's pretty warm. I mean, it was like that last time, right?
Yeah. It's been pretty warm and doing a lot of swimming and frisbee and stuff like that. So
yeah, so keeping cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Nice. All right, we got some upcoming events. Why don't you take the first one?
Yeah, so we've said it before. We've got another game prototype workshop coming up Sunday, July 31st from 12 to 6 p.m. So that's going to be right a little before we leave for Gen Con, but I don't know. I'm still planning on being there, trying to help out, play some games that people have prototypes of or whatnot, and hopefully there will be some people that are kind of, you know, adding a few more games to their, you know, what they've got and whatnot, and hopefully there'll be more people coming in and contributing, giving like more of that back and forth. We had a solid starting off point, but I'd like to just continue to build on that and, you know, have an active community of like game developers and people willing to to sit through a game that might not be ready for retail yet. So yeah, Sunday, July 31st, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know, I'm kind of, I don't think I've got the the ability to like just design a game on on a whim. It's tough.
Yeah, no, it's neat. It was fun at the last one though. We saw like four of them and lots of different ideas. So I definitely encourage people to get out there. I mean, it's 6 hours, but even if you go to the store and you know, play somebody's prototype, give them some feedback, and then jump into some other games, I think it's plenty valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I personally want to be there to support that.
Right,
but I'm having a tough time getting over that initial hurdle of saying, this is what I'm designing, and getting something playable. You know? So that's just how I am personally. I'm more than willing to, like, you know, sit down to a game that the person developing is clearly saying, like, this is not ready, but I need your help. I'm fine with that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I really want to be there to support it, but I'm doing back-to-back. I'm going to Indianapolis, coming home one day, and then turn around to go to Boston. So it's just one of those things where it's just a day that I got to be home with my family since I would be out 2 weeks in a row. So, but I'll definitely hit up the next one. So that's good. Yeah. The other big upcoming event is us going to Gen Con. So that's going to be August 3rd through the 7th. I'm sure, you know, there'll be lots of coverage on different things, and we're going to try to get a podcast out. Last year we did one on our way home. We just talked in the car, and I'll try to quick edit that and get that out quickly to people so they can kind of hear our final thoughts on that, as well as, you know, if we can add some other stuff. I got the video camera here, so if I can add some video footage this year, I have no idea. I haven't really done that, but going to try to add that to the mix. And maybe some other little things. Who knows? Maybe we'll find some time to podcast a little while we're there or something and throw things. So stay tuned. We'll see what we got for you.
Yeah.
We're excited, and, you know, send us an email, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. If there's something like, oh, I've heard this game's going to be amazing, check it out, let us know, and we will, so.
And that'll kind of lead right into the next library event. We'll have a little bit of a break. We'll be back for like a week, and then August 13th we'll be doing games at the Manchester Public Library from 12 to 4:30. So we'll try to focus on like a lot of games that we did get at Gen Con.
Right.
Most of the time leading into like events like that, Jen and I are kind of going back and forth on what games we're looking to bring, what games we think would be good to like demo and, you know, learn leading into the event. This one is just, let's see what happens at Gen Con. Let's see what we can pick up. And then we'll teach those at this event. So this one's probably got the least structure from like a games list, but the most possibilities, I guess.
Right, yeah. There should definitely be some hits, you know, there that people can play because, you know, we'll be able to kind of stream through all that stuff and find what we feel like would be, you know, because I feel like sometimes, too, what we have to do, like, we obviously give some of our opinions on things, but we're also looking at, hey, what's going to appeal to a large audience or what's going to appeal to a certain type? And so we could kind of tell people, like, oh, this is going to fit this niche well, or hey, a lot of people should play this game and check it out because it's really good on that front. So, yeah, library event, August 13th?
Yep.
Awesome. Hey, that'll jump right in. Speaking of a game that I think everybody should play, I got a chance to play The Networks. Got this in Formal Ferret Games. Really good. I got the kind of Kickstarter edition, came with the little expansion. I've now played it with 5 different people, 3 games. I've done 2-player and 2 3-player, so I haven't gotten to 4 or 5 yet.
Or one.
I haven't done the solo play. That's true. It plays 1 to 5. So anyway, tell you about The Networks first, but you can already hear that I really like it. So The Networks is a game, if anybody's ever seen the movie UHF by Weird Al, it's kind of playing off of that. You have a small kind of public access TV station, everybody has one, and you're trying to get yours to have the most viewers. So you kind of have money, which is like millions of dollars to spend on different things, and you can get shows, hire actors, you can get ads to go on your shows. You're trying to get the most viewers. So it plays over 5 seasons, which is rounds, and whoever has the most viewers at the end of 5 seasons wins the game. The game itself is kind of card drafting. You lay out various actors, you lay out various ads, you lay out various shows, and then there's these network cards, which are basically like event cards in other games. They're just kind of a one-time effect that somebody can get. And you just start drafting. You just take turns and you grab cards. And when you get a show, you're kind of setting up your primetime lineup. So you have 8 p.m., 9 p.m., and 10 p.m. So it simplifies it all down to that, which is one of the really good mechanics of the game, to not have you set up a 24-hour schedule. And you knock a show out of a time slot, and then that show gets flipped over, gives you viewers for being reruns for that year. So you'll score some points on that. And then when you play a show, you can attach, you kind of have to. You have to attach a star and add each card. Each show is different. And then that'll add money that you have at the end of the round that you have to total up to see if you make or lose money on your budgeting, and then you score points for your viewers. In addition, it's really fun because the shows are funny. There's humorous shows, there takes like Agents of Shampoo instead of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that. So, I mean, they're kind of, you laugh at them once and the second time they're not as funny, but, I won't say too many of them. There's one that I think is real good and they're real funny, but I'll let people find that. I think it's actually in the expansion, so if you got a chance to play the game and didn't have the expansion, I know it's going to be available at Gen Con if you're headed that way or shortly after, and you'll see a card in there that I think is very humorous. But that just adds to the flavor. It's not like it's banking on the humor. The humor is just kind of a bonus to what you're doing. So anyway, it goes round and rounds, and eventually people can pass, and when you pass, you get money or viewers. And that's it, but it's definitely in the medium weight category. It presents itself as light with the humor and the simplicity, and the card drafting is pretty straightforward, but you're thinking pretty well. I mean, it moves pretty quick with one action, and, you know, I've been teaching it to people, so it's kind of like on their turn, I'm kind of making sure they've got down what they're doing, and then it gets to my turn quickly. I haven't really had a ton of time to think, so maybe for me it moves a little quicker in that sense. I actually thought in the 2-player game it moved too fast, and I never say that about games, but it was almost like we barely had time to work with our things and figure out where we were. But it's a solid game. It's really good. I mean, as of right now, it's a contender for my top 10 this year. It's just easy to say that when 3/4 of the games haven't come out this year.
When you've only played 10 games.
Right, exactly. It's easier, but... I really think it'll appeal to a lot of people. It's thinky, but not too heavy to be overwhelming. the theme makes perfect sense. People understand that they're getting viewers, which are really points, but they understand how that works. I mean, the only part I found to be tricky is the whole you develop a show and you have to pay that cost, and then there's an upkeep cost, and then you have to attach stars and ads, and then there's optional ones you can attach, and then your other show. So it's a little fiddly
on
that sense, but everything else is straightforward. The network cards are good. They give you kind of the bonuses you're looking for, like, oh, you're allowed to add more stars, or here's an end game bonus for you, or you could take an extra action on a turn.
It's funny, like, the game kind of knew, like, the designer kind of knew it was going to be a little fiddly, so he gave you that way to keep track of how many viewers you've got, you've retained each of you, like, you know, on other people's turns, you can kind of keep track of your own viewership and such. But, no, I mean, it definitely does have some of that fiddly nature, and I think that might be where some of that weight feels. Like, maybe it feels a little closer to a medium weight because it does have, like, the minutiae that you need to keep making sure you're doing accurately, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's a really fun, like, drafting game. I've only played it once, and mm-hmm. I think that's, like, if you consider, like, a drafting style game, you know, a little more advanced than just, like, you know, an entry level game, I think you'll definitely put that in the higher like the medium category. So, and I mean, you can definitely, like, you have to know what you're doing. You have to have, like, a progression for it to make sense. And I think your decisions are, you're trying to, like, play against what other people are doing, too. So it's like, okay, I know they really need this card, so I need this now before they get a chance to take it. So it does have that line of thinking, which is really good, and I enjoyed playing it. So,
yeah, I mean, I've played it 3 times, and it's been a winner every single time. So definitely check out the networks if you hadn't. Formal Ferret Games, thumbs up for me.
All right, so after we ended up playing the networks, we sat down and played some lighter fare. So we ended up playing this really cool trick-taking game called Stichium. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but
you're good.
It's close enough. So yeah, this looked like an older game. I don't know, you know, if it's available or whatnot, but it's pretty basic. There are, I believe, 6 suits or so, and they've got numbers 1 through, like, 14 or something. I think we played with the set number of people that we had. So I think it was, like, 1 through 14 for us. It could go higher or lower based on player count. But you've got 1 through 14 in each of the 6 different suits. You deal out the whole deck. Everyone has a full hand of cards. Before the game even starts, you have to pick 1 suit, which is going to be your pain suit, which means you don't want to take any of those cards, really, throughout the course of the game. Like, you try to avoid that one, because every card that you take from your pain suit is negative points equal to the face value. And any card besides your suit that you take is just worth 1 point.
Right.
No matter what. So, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's just, you know, a basic trick-taking game where the first player leads with a card, and then it goes around to the other players. But unlike other games, you don't have to follow suit. Actually, if you don't follow suit, it's just, like, it's basically, if only that suit was played for the entire round, then it's the highest card takes it. If any other suit was played besides that one, then the highest card of any other suit, then the initial leading card takes the set, or takes the trick. So, I mean, it does kind of rack your brain a little bit to start. And it's, you know, you definitely have a different line of thinking than most of those other trick-taking games. But I really enjoyed it. We played it 2 times, and I'd gladly try it with a different player count, too, and just see how that goes. But, I mean, it amounts to a pretty quick game that's got some thinking, and it, you know, forces you to plan accordingly with something that I hadn't really seen before. So, I don't know. I really did like Stichium.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think there's 2 things that were neat. So the way that the game gets presented is, you know, everything is trump except the suit that's led, which is kind of backwards of most trick-taking games. Usually people lead something and that's trump, so it's kind of backwards. But it is easier what you said to think about is, okay, the highest card wins except the first card played. Then anything of that color kind of doesn't count. And then... what's neat is no card is inherently good or bad. You know, like, the 14 of a suit is good because you can win a trick, but you may end up leaving yourself open to get negative points. So it becomes very, like, about how the players are playing. Like, almost each individual trick has its own feel to it. Like, okay, people are pressing, people are really backing off here. Like, you know, people are bold, people are not bold here, and you kind of have to play to that part of the table. Mm-hmm. And even your hand has to be a little strategized out. Like, this is how I'm going to get rid of these bad cards. This is how I'm going to use these power cards to win points, and this is how I'm going to use these kind of middle to low cards to just status quo. So, I managed to do really well both times. It's hard to know, like, okay, I feel like I'm reading the table well, but there's also just some what cards people have. Like, I think both games I kind of was very bold. Like, okay, I'll throw this card out because I'll see if people have what, you know, what... what I hope they don't all have, and somebody didn't have it, and it worked to my benefit, but that could have worked against me too, so there was a little bit of risk there. But, yeah, it was a cool game.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I want to play it again. I want to find a copy.
All right, next up is Guildhall AEG. So, got a chance to play the new version. So, the new Guildhall is like a second edition, but actually have played, because of playing that, went back to get the first edition of Guildhall, which we have amongst us, and have been playing that a bunch. I think I played 3 or 4 games just since the last library event where I played the new one. So I really like Guildhall. I'll just put that up front. It's really fun. It's more take that than I remembered, but I don't mind in this game. Some games just take that is fun. Like, I think of King of Tokyo, like, do it. Just attack people. Just try to take them down. Mm-hmm. That's the fun of the game. Obviously, people always say, you know, time frame matters. So a game that's in 30 minutes or less, like, hey, whatever. If I get knocked out of the game, I'll survive. You know, Guildhall with 2 is probably in that 30-minute range. As you add players, you add in about 15 minutes, so it gets up to an hour. We just came off playing a 5-player game of Guildhall, which you're technically not supposed to. The box says 2 to 4, but we just said, hey, let's see what happens. So I thought there was a lot of downtime, but we're playing outside what the box says. So and you know, it's got random card draws. So anyway, the way Guildhall works is you have a bunch of cards with characters on them, and you play them in front of you, and they all trigger abilities, and then they go to your tableau in front of you, which is called your guild or guild hall, I guess, with all your different characters. And they come in, there's 6 different characters in 5 different colors. So you can't play a card if it's a character of the same color as something you already have. So if I have a yellow trader out, I can't play another yellow trader, but I can play a blue trader. In fact, I want to. Because if I collect all 5 colors, that's a chapter. I flip it over, and now I can trade that in for a card that gives me victory points and a bonus action. So that's kind of your goal, is completing these sets of 5. Excuse me. And you're taking 2 actions on a turn. You can also draw back up. You can fill your hand back up to 6 cards. And but the neat part is, each card, when you play it, will trigger based on how many of that type you have in your guild. So if you don't have any, it might be like, hey, draw a card. But if you have 2 of this, it might be like, you know, draw 2 cards and put them in your guild hall or something, whatever it is. That's not actually an ability. I'm just making stuff up or whatever. There's a lot of take that ones. Like, we just played with the assassin, and the assassin is just take somebody else's card and discard it. But it's kind of necessary. Like, people are completing these chapters, and if you don't have a way to stop them, then they'll just complete them, and it'll just kind of be who draws what. So you need that interaction.
Yeah, but it's dependent on the players to know who's in the lead. Like, the assassin can very easily be like, oh, you've got, like, 4 toward your chapter, I'll kill that one. And that person might be way in the, like, way in last place. So, you know, it does have a little bit of that element, too.
Absolutely, yeah. No, there's definitely some table reading. So, you know, I would guess with 4 players, it's about 60 minutes. So, you know, it starts to get in that time frame of, like, is this too long for take that? And just kind of sitting there. The game we were playing, I was in that boat you were saying, where I was pretty dead last, and it was just kind of like, all right, everybody take your turn because you get behind. But I don't know. I think it's a really fun game still. The new edition, they changed it from, like, medieval theme to fantasy theme, which is cool. I really like the look of the cards. I like the layout, the graphic design a lot better in the new one. But I couldn't really remember the first edition, so my wife was like, well, let's go home. Let's check out the first edition. You know, it was fine. The first edition isn't anything, you know, necessarily majorly worse. It's a little less nice looking, but the new edition is now in three sets of six, and the old edition was in two sets of six, and I'll just leave it at that. If you haven't played Guildhall, it's hard to get access to first edition, so check out the first one. I think it's Guildhall Fellowship. It's in the store. And did we get
Job Fair? Oh, you're talking the new...
The new edition. Did I say first edition? I meant to say second edition. We have Fellowship that was in the store, and the new one I think Alliances. I saw, Alliances, is there as well. So buy one of them, check it out. I think it's a really fun game. Again, like I said, it's got some take that and whatnot, but it's fun. I just way the cards combo and interact, and you're completing sets. You know, even when you lose, you get to do a bunch of stuff. You get to a point where you're like, oh, shoot, this isn't a good card draw for me, and that person's really cruising ahead. It does end up with a wide differential. Like, you have to get to 20 points, and somebody will get to 20 when everybody else is at 10 because they kind of haven't had a chance to cash in their points. But you're really close. Everybody will say, oh, if I just had one more turn, like that, everybody will say that. It's like, well, too bad you didn't. So, anyway, Guildhall AEG.
No, I just wanted to say something real quick. That one, I remember playing this a few years ago when it came out originally, and it was really enjoyable back then. I had a great time, and I think we brought it into the store specifically because it was a fun game, but it was just one of those ones that was tough to sell. Like,
it
sat there. It was like, you know, there have been a few games from AEG in particular that are jumping out where it's just like, they're great games, but they just don't, you know, like, it doesn't grab you. I think that one and, like, Trains was another one that, you know, it was really fun, and it's just like, you still see them, and it's just like, why aren't people gravitating to these? But I don't know, it was really good, and hopefully this new edition will kind of kick it back into the fray and get people playing it. They're tiny boxes too, so like, maybe it's just like the price point was a little weird or something, so maybe this will kind of get it in people's hands and get them playing it.
Well, it's part of what we're doing here too, right? Highlight some games.
Yeah.
And mention that, you know, people go to the store and they say, oh, that doesn't jump out to me. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. But then if you hear about it, you're like, boy, that looks drab, but I heard it was good. It sounds like something I like. Mm-hmm. So you check it out. So
yeah,
there's that. Yeah, I do think those tiny sets would be good because somebody could pick up kind of at a lower price point, try that first one out, and then go from there if they want to add more. And then there's a whole system where you can shuffle those all around. But I'll let people kind of explore that on their own and not go there for now. So nice.
Yeah. All right, so I guess that's kind of leading into one of the games that, another one of the games we played at the last library event, Euphoria by Stonemaier Games, which this is a really neat worker placement game where workers are kind of represented by dice. But the dice, like the values on the dice are kind of representing how knowledgeable your workers are. So you're trying to, like, you know, bring in more workers and get them doing stuff for you, but you never want them to get too smart to, like, recognize that you're kind of manipulating them or whatnot. So Euphoria is just like it's set in like a dystopian future sort of thing where there are four different factions that have kind of laid claim to different areas of the world, right? So these four different factions, you know, operate in similar functions where they've got like a couple different action spaces where you can send your dice to, you know, to collect resources or to, you know, progress like on different tracks and whatnot. By the end of the day, you're trying to put out influence tokens over the entire world, trying to spread the most influence. So it's the person who plays 10 influence tokens to the world first that'll win the game. You know, and there are a couple different ways to do that. I won't get into the minutia of it, but when it boils down to it, it's you're trying to send out your workers, collect all these resources, you know, build different construction projects, or just kind of put influence to these different factions that you've got over the entire map. And it definitely has like a lot of, like, you know, that tongue-in-cheek humor. Like, to get another worker, you might have to douse them in water to, like, activate them. So you'd spend, like, 3 water tokens, and then you'd get another die and roll it. Or you could spend electricity and zap a worker into into action. And, you know, they have different things that they do. So, like, if you zap a worker into action, you're going to be losing, I forget what, if it was like a heart, like a, like you've got a heart track and like a knowledge track. You know, it's you lose knowledge. You go back on the knowledge track if you zap them because they lose some like brain cells or what. Or if you douse them in water, you go up on the heart track because you're a little more humane. But you're still dousing right. them in water. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a really interesting game where you like the worker placement is pretty straightforward. Like a lot of games do that, but I haven't seen many where they're you're trying to put out. Like, it's like a race to those 10 yeah. tokens going out, and I haven't seen a whole lot of games that do that. That might be because I haven't, like, ventured into enough older games, but I don't know if there's one that, that comes to mind for you, Brant. This one was definitely, like, a different way of thinking on how to actually do that and such. But
yeah, I can't think of a worker placement where you're trying to get, first one to get all your items on the board.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, I've played it a few times now. I think, like, a five-player game or something, and then a two-player game, and then I've taught it a couple times. And just kind of seeing that, it does tend to have, like, a slow build up until a point where it's just, it kind of turns the corner, and there's a lot more, like, you know, put your influence out there, and it kind of progresses really quickly once it kind of hits that tipping point. So I would say, like, that was really enjoyable. I'd probably stay away from the two-player game again, but it is really nice. It does go up to six players, and there aren't that many games that, mm-hmm. you know, hit that mark with a good flow. And I don't know, I did enjoy it, and that one is one that I'm glad to to bring out. I guess it probably won't hit the table as consistently as, like, that top tier games. Like, it's not one of my, like, top favorites, but it's still, like, a good one that, you know, if we had six, I wouldn't mind playing that and getting that out and just enjoying it, so.
Yeah. It seems like that slow build is kind of a trademark of Stonemaier. Like, Viticulture's definitely that way. It's like you're just trying to earn points, and then finally you're able to, mm-hmm. and you're able to fulfill these contracts, and you have bigger things, and boom, 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 and then somebody gets to 25, and then it's like a race for how far yeah. past 25 can you get to end the game. And Scythe we found to be like, nobody has stars out, and then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. boom, 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 people are placing stars like crazy, and the game's ending.
Yeah.
You know, be it good or bad, they're just kind of getting stars out and, yeah. and ending the game, and it sounds like this one's the same, where it's like somebody gets one star out, and then, you know, going from there.
Yeah.
And this one's, you know, even more focused on that, so it's interesting.
And obviously there are some more things to it, like there's, you know, a little bit more to it than just the basic overview of what I said, but I don't know, the components are great. Granted, I did get the Kickstarter yeah. Deluxe Edition, but even besides that, you know, it's produced really well, and I enjoy it, so. Stonemaier Games does a great job with what they're putting out there, and Euphoria is no exception to that.
Yeah, actually, ironically, I've never tried it. I've done Viticulture and the other one. I've done Between Two Cities either. That one was totally, totally different. Very small game. It's hard for me to imagine better than Viticulture. That one's so good.
Euphoria?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
But, I mean, that doesn't have to be a requirement. You know what I mean? Like yeah. you're saying, games can be great without being a top-tier game. Like,
right.
You know? I think that's something that we get lost sometimes. Mm-hmm. We're playing so many new games. We're saying, well, what will this push out of my collection? Or why would I bother to ever get this to the table? It's like, well, sometimes it's just yeah. a change of pace. Like, here's another game that's great. It's super fun. It's just not one of my favorite games of all time. You know what
right.
I mean?
So, I thought they were doing an expansion. I don't know. I thought I heard something about that, but I'm not 100%
sure. It's a separate game that's coming out at Gen Con by a different publisher.
Isn't there a license? Separate one, though?
Not sure.
Maybe not. No, I know there's like another game set in that universe.
Gotcha.
I guess I'd have to look on if they're planning on an expansion for Euphoria itself.
Yeah.
So, because like when you're comparing it to Viticulture, you're looking yeah, at Viticulture plus Tuscany, which was a great expansion in its own right.
One of the best of all time, I yeah. think.
So it's tough to compare those. Granted, if another expansion or an expansion comes out for Euphoria, it still might not be in that upper echelon, but I guess we'd have to judge it by like when it did come out.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. That's what's on our table. Tell us what's on yours. Hello, everybody. I'm here again with another game spotlight with...
Zephra.
And Zephra's here to tell us about another game she's been playing. What's this game called?
Outfoxed.
Outfoxed. All right. So Outfoxed is a game from Game Right Games. So what's your goal in this game, Zephra?
You're trying to not get the fox to escape.
And what do you want to do before the fox escapes?
Try to guess who the character or who the suspect is.
Yeah, so somebody stole the pie and we're trying to figure out who it is. So this is a deduction game that you can play with kids. So Zephra, tell us how a turn goes. What do you do on a turn?
You either roll for eyeballs or paw prints. If you get the paw prints, you take like one of these cardboard things.
Tokens.
Tokens. And it has like a picture of a cave or a cape or a bag or an umbrella and stuff like that. Things that suspects would have to dress up. And you have these little hats for your tokens. And you have this like school. And you put, those tokens in like this thing, and it has a suspect. It has a suspect card.
You're good. Thief card.
Thief card, I mean. And you're trying to guess who the thief is. When you get down to one player, that has to be the person that's in the little slider thing. And yeah. And
awesome. So is Outfoxed a fun game?
Yeah.
Yeah? Thumbs up?
I forgot to tell
them. That's okay. Is it a thumbs up?
Yes.
Awesome. So that's Outfoxed by Game Right Games. Thank you, everybody. All right, move on to our discussion topic, and it is all Gen Con all the time right now. This is what's on our brains, this is what's on our minds, this is what everybody's excited for, this is it. Probably the biggest convention of the season. A lot of people are psyched for Essen. We will not be at Essen this year, as we do not head that direction. We didn't make it to Origins, so this one's big for us, but there's definitely a lot of releases, so we just want to kind of give you our run-through of Gen Con. I guess we'll kind of start with events and then finish off with games. I know... I've looked up a ton about games. Brian's kind of in the middle ground, I would say. We kind of spend our ride there talking about all this and getting up to date. So, yeah, we'll go from there. So I guess we'll just go through logistics. So our plan is to head out Tuesday. That's August 2nd. And for us, it's about a 13-hour drive from Connecticut to Indianapolis. So we'll leave early in the morning and get there just after dinner time. Be our plan. And last year it was smooth sailing. We didn't have any issues driving out. Traffic was simple. Directions were simple. We just stopped and like quick pick eat something easily. Had food in the car thanks to our wives helping us pack some stuff there. And I just had a good time. So I think we'd do similar this year. I don't know if everybody needs to know this, but hey, whatever.
Sorry, and, I'm looking up. I'm trying to see if Euphoria had.
Gotcha.
I'll put my phone away though.
And, one thing we did last year was we just downloaded a whole bunch of other podcasts and other things that were talking about Gen Con preview just to hear what people are excited about, because you kind of start to get the buzz of like, okay, they're talking about that, they're talking about that, they're talking about that, that must be good. Or, like, last year I remember one person on one podcast mentioned Warband, and we kind of ignored it, and then when we came back later, people really liked Warband. I wasn't as big a fan, but others of you were,
you
so it's
like
funny
it.
Those little games, you know, those little games that pop up. That, you know, had we paid more attention, we might have found a game earlier. I mean, whatever, we found it either way, so
I mean,
it's fine.
That's
not
a fair thing to say, though. I mean, it's all just out there. And
right, yeah, you gotta sift through. I'm just saying, you know, it's fun to find those diamonds in the rough. And, that kind of thing. So, that's one that pops in my head. So, anyway, so we'll probably do the same and listen to a bunch of podcasts. So, go for it. Hope you listen to us, too. But there's that. So, we'll do that on the ride out. And then we get there. We'll be outside Indianapolis the first night. Just outside. We'll stay over there. And then the next day we're getting up, we're doing the trade day. Mm-hmm. And so trade day is August 3rd, which is the Wednesday. And so that's retailers, educators, and librarians. do the trade day show. So I double dip here because I work for the store, for the retail end. Obviously, Brian's the main focus there. And then I'm an educator. I'm a teacher, too. Yeah. So I'm involved on that front.
And you help out at the library.
That's true. I work at the library. I triple dip on that front. So that should be fun. So the trade day, if you don't know, and if something you might be interested in, it's people of that background. So from retail, from education outlets, and from libraries, talking about giving kind of 1 hour lectures is really what it is. Mm-hmm. Different levels of engagement, different levels of things going on. Some people are just showing off. I think even some of the companies do like a, you know, just a release of their product. You can go see some of those too, which are pretty interesting. Last year we got in the New York 1901 all about the art, and we were all like totally, yeah, you know, captivated. It was so interesting. Like something that you would think would be, you know, not the best. It was very interesting. So that was exciting. So anyway, that's a separate event. So that's something that you pay extra for and go to extra.
Yeah, yeah, and you need to be approved for it. Yeah, you need to have, you need to prove it.
So. And it's actually in the JW Marriott, which is kind of connected by Skywalks there. But it's fun. It gets you in a day before. You start seeing people.
Right.
And then actually get some demos at night, which is fun. So there's certain companies that will come and demo in that. And so, you know, we kind of get a preview of some of the things we're going to see.
Yeah, and I know for me, like, it's tough looking through the Gen Con events. Like, I just, it's just so overwhelming to try to sift through that and find stuff that you want to do. And, you know, basically commit to stuff that you're not sure if you're going to be able to or if you want to or whatnot. But this was a great lead-in for us because it does have like a good structure with a lower crowd, and it's just an easy way to go in, and there's not much else going on too, so we don't really have an excuse not to go to different, you know, different discussions or
right,
different seminars or whatnot. So
yeah, and for the most part I thought they were all, you know, pretty good for what they were trying to present. Mm-hmm. You know, they flow by. You found some that were real good and some that were, you know, kind of mediocre, but it's, you know, it's just, you kind of find the things that work for you, and it's hard to know by a title. You know, give a title to something and go to it and see what it yeah, is. It kind of, once you get there, what's the flow like?
Yeah, because it's definitely the person that's leading it. Like, if they're engaging and they know what they're talking about, I mean, it's also what you're trying to take away from it, too, yeah. So...
So we'll go to that, do that, then we'll be around Wednesday, and then Thursday morning, I guess, you know, the big show begins. So so all those doors will open at 10, VIP people get in at 9 a.m., so we actually get that for doing the trade day, so we're in the hall a little early, and then I guess it's just, you know, they let whatever 1,000 people in, and then 20,000 people, and there's a mass stampede, so... I think I'm really looking forward to, you know, there's a few key games that I'm hoping to pick up, and we'll talk about that afterward. I don't think right now that's key. I'm excited to have some, like, kickstarted games and some pre-ordered games that are just set to be picked up there. So that's nice. It's kind of lower bar there. And then I really want to focus on making sure I talk to people, talk to publishers, talk to designers, and demo more games this year. I felt like sometimes I walked around in a circle for an hour, picking what I wanted to demo, and then never sat down. And this time I think I'm going to try to be better about, okay, this is on my list to demo. It's open. Here I go. I'm going to demo it. What's your thoughts for that in general? I don't know. That's tricky. The first day is so different from the other days.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a good amount of work that you put into like leading into it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just a matter of seeing what like the different hot spots are, trying to get a sense of, you know, what the flow is going to be like too, just over the course of the day, because there were some things where it was really difficult to try to get a demo in of last year. You know, I think Mysterium jumps out where it was right, like,
yeah, you're just
near impossible stuff, like to do something like that. So I don't know, I guess we just have to kind of be mindful of what is open, kind of rotate, and you know, just realize that there are some games where it's like, I don't need to play this. I can kind of get a sense from, like, you know, just walking through and seeing it. So,
yeah, I think I was really impressed with that from last year. Was I expected it to almost be like an amusement park, where it was like, oh, these people are on the ride and they're playing the games right now, and then you're in this line, you know, waiting to play, and you can't see anything. But you could literally just go up to a demo table, as long as you weren't in the way, and just watch people play, and it was not so crazy. And typically, you could wait for a demo to finish and then jump in on the next one. You weren't waiting for six. Now, Mysterium, like you said, was one, because they had kind of a special setup inside their booth. That was very different. But and I think Upper Deck was that way, too, with their demos. You had to sign up at a little table.
Yeah.
Fantasy Flight, though, even, was just walk up, stand by the table.
Yeah, but there were some that were a little more difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, when they unveiled, like, Fury of Dracula, it was... You had to be there at the right time to get in, or you had to stay there for like a decent length of a play session, you know? So there's, it depends on what it is.
Yeah. So last year, we kind of, you know, there's three of us, because Larry's going with us too. And we kind of were like, oh, you two play, or I'll sit out, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm wondering this year, do you think, I'm thinking maybe more we just try to get all three of us in on some more demos just to get more opinions on it. I mean, it's good to divide and conquer. And I don't want to, like, monopolize, like, oh, somebody else can't play because of that. So obviously if it's like a four-player game and there's two people there and there's three of us sit with two. But I just wonder if we could get a better opinion, like we've all played it. That would be a little more solid.
Right.
Rather than worrying about, like, covering all these games. But, I mean, I still think if we're good about it...
Yeah, the problem, I mean, the only problem that I'd see from that would be, like, a groupthink sort of thing. But that might not necessarily be a problem based on how... It depends on how the game's being run and what we're trying to... What they're trying to get us to take away from it.
Yeah. So there's that. So then we'll be in the hall, and, you know, the first day is just... You know, it's overwhelming. You're trying to figure out where all the booths are. You're trying to get through the crowd. You're just looking at the eye candy of all the different booths that are set up and kind of wrapping your head around the games that are really popular.
Right.
And what's available and demos. I don't know. It's just really even, I don't know. It'll be interesting being year two. Like, will things seem a little more normal to us, or will it still be like, okay, that's over there and that's over there and that's what we're looking at.
Right.
You can't get through that hall, and they're making it bigger this year. So it'll be interesting, you know, just it's so big. And now making it bigger, just, you know, what we can do.
Yeah.
Then the hall closes at 6. And this is another place I was impressed. You know, you hear people say, oh, Gen Con, you don't want to go there. That's not a place for gaming. That's for eye candy and getting all the new products and talking to people and demoing things. There were hundreds of tables.
Yeah, there was
to
a lot.
Sit and play games at. And there were demos that you could get at night for generic tickets and stuff. I mean, I felt like there was tons of access to playing games. I mean, I guess I get it. It's harder to guarantee you'll get a demo of, like, the five or six games that you definitely want to demo unless you sign up, whereas I could see others are kind of anyway, I could see others easier to do this, but... I mean, you know, we walked out with our, you know, short stack of games. We really didn't get a lot last year, and we brought some games, and we were able to play a good part of the night, and we sat at the tables, and it's open 24 hours. I mean, once the convention opens, it doesn't close.
Yeah, that was great.
Until Sunday night. So you've just got the whole time. You want to run out and grab food at Steak and Shake at midnight? We did it.
Yeah.
You know, we went and sat. That line's huge. Closest fast food. You know, there a couple blocks away, and you just go there, you're talking about games you played, you come back and you open up a game at 1 a.m. and play it because everything's open all the time. So that was neat. So what do you think about the after hours there?
Yeah, I know it was a lot better than I thought. You know, it was almost easier once the hall did close because it kind of, like, you know, people dispersed a little bit, and then there was a bit more flow just, like, outside of the... that main hall. I mean, it's obviously there were, like, certain areas that were kind of designated for set games, so we were mindful. We weren't just, like, hopping in and, like, claiming space, because you can't really do that. We kind of hopped in and we saw that there were, like, you know, reservations basically, but we kind of figured, hey, if we need to move, we'll move. And I think that even happened to us, so it wasn't a huge deal.
Right, yeah, no. Yeah, so that's kind of how that first day goes. The second day is similar, it's just now you've got your bearings.
Yeah.
So it works a little different in terms of that. Now, for us, last year we did that pandemic tournament, so we kind of had an event that day, but we got no events like that this year. So.
Yeah, because you guys didn't win at the local level.
Yeah, we didn't win that one, so. So, yeah, then Friday, Saturday, I feel like are pretty similar. You're trying to get around to demo some of those more things, talk to more people. There are artists, designers that are around on certain days to talk to and do things like that. So we'll definitely be doing some of that and trying to get some of that coverage in for those things. I don't know. I don't feel like I have too much to say about Friday or Saturday. Oh, Friday we're going to go see Dice Tower Live. So that'll be fun. We'll go see that recording. Mm-hmm. And see their recording. There were a couple events we were talking about. We were thinking about doing the Lord of the Rings thing. We'll have to see about that. It was kind of a lot to take in, but it was like you could play with like 8 people or something. It was kind of interesting. And I really want to try to get to some of the rooms. The companies themselves get individual rooms, and I want to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
There's like a room where you can go to get access to a library, but it doesn't seem relevant at this. Like, you have enough new titles that you purchased or brought with you.
Yeah, I mean, if we weren't bringing anything or buying anything, then it might be worth it. But, you know, you can find stuff.
Right.
You could even just walk around asking people and you'll get a game in.
Yep.
So.
And food, we pretty much stuck to, like, we ate breakfast before we got there. Mm-hmm. Our hotel had that provided last year, and then we pretty much hit those food trucks and local things. We never really did a sit down restaurant, so I'm not sure, you know, in terms of that, but there's lots of places to eat there. I guess we did the mall a couple times for those kind of things, so, but there's definitely plenty of food. So if that's something, if you're going or thinking of going, like, there's no shortage of food. And then we'll kind of roll. So Friday and Saturday, we'll just be trying to check out all these things. We're going to run through some games here in a minute. So I'm kind of just cruising through this. And then Saturday night is the Secret Cabal podcast meetup, which I soloed last year. But I think you guys are thinking of going with me this year to check it out.
Hopefully this time we won't be in the middle of a fun game.
That's right. Yeah, no fun games. We could bring a fun game there and play. but that should be a really fun time. They have some crazy parties. I'm not sure how late we need to stay, because we don't get into all that crazy chaos that they have sometimes, but I think it's still a fun place to go and just meet up and kind of a change of pace at that point.
Yeah.
I know for me, by Saturday night, I get a little run down, so.
Yeah, I think last year I hadn't really been listening to them that often, you know, just kind of here and there. This year it's a full year of listening consistently to them, so it'll be good to kind of see the faces from the names and that sort of stuff.
And I mean, they attract a lot of people. It's like a who's who of board gaming that go to it, you know. So it's a good place to just run in and see a lot of people and interact with them, which should be a whole bunch of fun. I know last year, I just in the hour plus that I was there, I got to talk to almost all the guys from Secret Cabal. I talked to Rodney Smith. I talked to Marty from Rolling Dice and Taking Names. I talked to some other people, and I ran into a guy who goes to the Portal in Connecticut. So, I mean, just right there, just all sorts of people. So that was just fun just to, you know, kind of meet and talk to some of these people. So hopefully we'll get a chance to do that again and all that. And then Sunday we'll head home. I don't think we're going to stick around all day Sunday. We'll see how that is, because we've got a 13-hour drive and getting ready to get back. So there's that. All right. So enough of that. There's kind of our logistics. I don't know if you were interested on that front.
But you heard it, unless you skipped it.
There it is. So I have compiled a list. Brian was kind of hinting at this. You know, I did a lot of work up front, and people have helped me. But so what I did here was I kind of compiled a Google spreadsheet of, okay, here's games that we're hearing about, that we're interested in. Who's thinking they might try to buy this game, you know, or have that ready to go? Who's interested in demoing it? Or wants us to demo, because we sent this out to some friends and other people. So certainly if there's stuff that you're looking at, send us an email, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. I'll throw you down and try to make sure, because if I see like, oh, there's 3 or 4 people that really want us to demo that, I'll try to make it a higher priority for us. And then I've got like the booth number and the publisher, so we can find all of those. So I am not going to run through the 56 games I have on here. Lots of information comes from the Eric Martin... geek list that's on Board Game Geek. I hear everybody thank him all the time, so definitely thank you for that. in terms of that. But I'm just going to throw some games out at Brian and see his whatever reaction, or if he's heard of it, or whatever it is. And this might give you some ideas of some of the stuff that's, you know, kind of considered hot or otherwise. So, Seafall.
Yeah, we need to finish Pandemic Legacy first. No, I'm excited, I guess, but not... It's a long commitment for, like, a Legacy-style game, so...
Yeah, so Seafall's kind of, like, everybody's number one. They're super excited. I know it's not ours. I'm just... A lot of people that you're hearing from. But we've kind of decided, since we're not going to play it there, and if we bring it home with us, we kind of have to group up and do that afterwards. So we're kind of waiting for the, you know, post-Gen Con release to worry about getting this and jumping in. Definitely something I want to try. It's like you said, we haven't even finished Pandemic Legacy, so committing to the whatever 12 or 15 games of this will be tricky when that's still on the page. But looks like it's going to be awesome. Terraforming Mars.
Yeah, I've heard stuff just from you. I mean, just this sounds closest to a heavy Euro based on what you've said, but I don't know. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody asked me too. They were like, well, what do you really know about this game? That it's kind of the one Euro that's being released there. So we should check it out if we like Euros. I think I was even joking with you that, like, I'm going to bring a lot of Euros to play before the con starts because there may not be many once we get there. But yeah, it looks like a really interesting game. And that's from Stronghold Games, so we'll be checking that one out. Let's see what else is on here. Cry Havoc.
Next one.
So Cry Havoc is really gaining steam right now. A lot of people are talking about it. There was a Vassal review of just glowing proportions. He said it was his favorite game of the year. So this is from Portal Games. So I'm going to be getting a copy of this. So Brian's excited to try that, I know. But we'll see how that goes. So there you go. Tyrants of the Underdark.
Yeah, that one's building up on, like, it's growing on me a little bit. I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's, what, a deck-building area control style game?
Yes.
I don't know. It sounds like it could be fun. I think this one I had low expectations, so
right,
I'd be happy with a decent fun game. Yeah. So.
Yeah, deck-building I love, and area control, as we know, kind of the running thing is I'm 50-50 on it, yeah. And there's no rhyme or reason. It's just some area control is fun, and some makes me want to throw things and cry.
What is Cry Havoc? Is that area control at all?
I guess it's dudes on a map.
Is that area control?
No, because you fight and then somebody wins.
But that's what you don't like about area control.
You fight and somebody wins?
Yeah. You don't like the fighting, right?
The combat actually is area control, because you put your characters to control areas.
All right, I made us go back and talk about Cry Havoc. Let's move on.
All right, next is Cry Havoc. No. Yokohama.
Yeah, I'm excited. I backed that.
You did?
I did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, that one's exciting to me. And the next one, too, I'm looking at the list. I'm cheating. Guilds of London. Right.
All right. Are you going to make a run for Guilds of London?
I'd consider it. Tasty Minstrel Games, I want to go to that booth.
Yeah. Yeah, Guilds of London is definitely, definitely hot game on the front. And I don't know why, because this released at Origins and sold out in like 16 minutes. And now they're going to have another small stock at Gen Con. So it just seems funny to me. Like,
yeah.
Where are all these games? Where? But maybe there just aren't enough copies because they sold at the UK Games Expo, so maybe they're just out waiting for more to print, but that'll be interesting there. Nice. I'm picking up the Goonies Adventure card game, so I'm excited I backed that, and I just love Goonies, and so maybe we'll make Brian watch that movie someday. So there's that. Legendary Firefly I'm excited about, just going down the list here. And then actually as I go through the list, I notice already some of these have come out. Or we've tried them, like Mystic Veil is on here. That's definitely going to be huge at the show. I played it again, and I got hosed. But it's a fun game. I mean, it is, and it was fast. That second game I played was 30 minutes, and I think my complaint last time was, oh, this game is so long. I don't want to sit there for that long. But, I mean, at 30 minutes, it was like, whatever, because you definitely get these combos going and whatnot. But it's a really neat system that it's going to go places. So that'll definitely be interesting. So I think that's a plus for Mystic Veil. What else are we looking at on here? All right, I got one that's jumping up on me. Arcane Academy. It's Eric Lang.
Hopefully. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah. It's like a cart. It's a tile connecting, tile building. I'm not sure exactly. The one that I am most mystified by is next. The Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle deck building game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so little information except what the publisher probably exactly wants, which is there will be 50 copies available. Good luck. And when you carry a name like Harry Potter, right, and there aren't really any Harry Potter games, people are super excited because this is just an IP that people are just waiting for there to be lots of great games for. So that's kind of my, like, heart palpitating game. Like, do I want to try to get this? Do I want to try this? Is this going to be good? Is this going to be awful crap that I can't handle and I'm so mad? You know, where does this fall? So that's kind of my one that in the next week I'm really hoping to see a review or something on, because I'd like to know what it's like and get a better handle. You know, I waited and waited for Big Book of Madness here sitting right next to me, and it still held up. I still felt like it was a solid game when I finally was able to get it. And that, I always said, was kind of like the Harry Potter, you know, spellcasting game. But what will this one be like? It'll be interesting. So there's that. I'm going to pick up Shakespeare Backstage. I've been playing Shakespeare still. I've almost got my 10 plays in for this year. I love that game. This is like $10. It's a no-doubter. I'm going to grab it. Have you only played Shakespeare once?
Yeah. Was it the wrong way?
Did you have fun?
Yeah. I'd play it again. If you bring it, I'll play it.
Why don't you go down the list and tell us what you're excited about? Or something you want to talk about.
Can I go up the list?
Oh, yeah.
To Colony?
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm excited to try that out from Bezier Games. Yeah. So, I don't know. I watched some videos on it like a while ago, but it was more just like a brief overview, and I don't think my brain, you know, keeps that. Like, it doesn't translate games that way. So I'd want to play this and see how it goes.
Nice. So. I actually, looking right above that, we're not supposed to go back, I know. but here's one I'm thinking of that if we demo, all three of us, I think it would be really good. Chronicles yeah. Origins. So Chronicles Origins is another Rob Davio legacy game. Very unique. I'm not going to go into it because I'm sure we will if we demo, but I could really see getting three sets of eyes on that game, because that's one of those, anyway, that's a make or break kind of game, I think. So it'd be interesting to try that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Then going down, I guess, Beyond Baker Street. Do you know much about that one?
Is Beyond Baker, is that the one that's like Hanabi?
I don't know. There are a ton of.
I think that's the one that's like Hanabi, but it has a little more theme. It's Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
And, I've been hearing really positive things, so definitely want to try that one out. Most of these we're talking about are not games that we're buying. They're games that we're demoing, you know, and if they're still available, which there's a decent number of games that are available, you know, there's these few that have 200 copies and good luck, you know, kind of thing, that you kind of have to make a decision. Am I getting that or am I not worrying about it kind of thing?
Yeah. So, I mean, Valley of the Kings, Last Rites,
mm-hmm.
I'll be looking to pick that up, assuming that should be there, right? From AEG.
Yeah.
I don't know. I picked up an expansion, like the Valley of the Kings Afterlife. Was that the second
yep.
one? I picked that up last year, and it was, you know, it was fun to just get a small game to the table.
I love Valley of the Kings. I mean, that's an example to me of just a great deck builder. Like, right. It's just super fun. You're just, it's got a little twist, and it's easy to play, and it just moves, and it really focuses on the deck building mechanic, which is so fun because you get to, you know, thin your cards as part of how you're playing. So
yeah, that was fun last year, and I'd like to continue that trend. Too bad there isn't like a Flip City expansion coming out. So
yeah. So my favorite game of the convention that I demoed last year is available this year, London Dread. This is Grey Fox Games, and it's a really cool game. So you would think I would just, no-brainer, pick it up. But it's, I don't know if it's something we would play there. So again, it's, you know, could I wait for this to come to retail? Because it's got a soundtrack. It's kind of a story-driven, it's not really campaign style, but it would take more time. I'm not sure it's something that, like, other people I'd be playing with there, you guys would buy into, so I'm not positive on this one that it's something like, oh, I'm going to grab that first thing right off the bat, even though it was my favorite game I played last year there. But really neat game in terms of that. I know Star Trek Ascendancy is coming out, so I definitely want to get a demo of this in. Really interesting Star Trek game. Of course, Star Trek is kind of famous for not really yet having a game that really defines it. Frontiers is a, you know, reimagining of Mage Knight, but still kind of its own thing. So go from there. Let's see. What else? I found a little one here, Trade Empires, which is doesn't have a publisher. But I saw hints of similarities to Terra Mystica, one of my favorite games ever. No, my favorite game ever. And
right now.
Yeah, so that was interesting to me. There. Just a couple quick hits, I think. Pursuit of Happiness should be a really interesting game. That's kind of a lighter fare. Euro, I guess. Junk Art, I'd love to demo that. That's the new Pretzel Games. That should be interesting. I don't know. What else is on here? Heard good things about Holmes, Sherlock, and Mycroft, two-player. And then there's just some things that I'm interested in seeing what they're like. Apocrypha is the new, like, implementation. I mean, it's totally different, but it's Pathfinder Adventure Card Game, which my wife and I have had a blast with, but our experience with you guys was not the best. What else is on here?
Do you want to try Captain Sonar?
I do, but see, that's such a con game. That's one you want eight players, so you want to demo it. Like, I don't want to pick it up and play with three, you know?
I don't think right, no, I don't think... That's so what I want to... Yeah,
I would definitely jump in. That seems like a pretty good one because, of you know, I imagine they'll take eight players at a time, so that should be neat. Not too many things on here. I've been hearing a lot about this Vast game. It was called Trove when it was kickstarted. They were forced to change their name. Now it's called Vast. And apparently it's really neat.
Where have you been hearing about it? Just some other podcasts?
Yeah, just videos, other podcasts. I honestly, I'm not hedging. I just can't remember.
No, yeah. It's just, it's tough. Like, I looked it up. It didn't jump out from the art.
Everybody just says, stay tuned. This one's interesting. People that have tried it and played it. So, I guess the idea is it's all asymmetrical. You play a knight, you play a, I don't know, ranger, you play all these character decks that are totally different. Some kind of deck builder, I think. And then somebody plays the cave, which is the actual environment they're all in. And it just sounds very unique. So, there's that. Love to get a look at Gloomhaven, which is a huge Kickstarter, kind of legacy-style dungeon crawl game. Won't be available, but get a look at it. Codenames Pictures.
Yeah, if that's there, I mean, is it supposed to just be like...
It's just there, show? Ready, available. I mean, I can't imagine they won't have enough copies.
Do you think it'll be there for sale?
Yeah. So, I mean, that just seems like a no-brainer to try to look at and get a hold of. So, that's mostly what's on here. We've got other stuff, but we're not going to highlight everything. But there's just a preview of what we're looking at. If you didn't hear something that you're interested in and you want us to check it out, again, send us an email, portalgamingpodcast.
Yeah.
@gmail.com.
It doesn't mean it's not going to be there. We just didn't cover all of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and look through all these. And again, we'd love to look over something. Yeah. If you're going to be there, send us an email too and let us know. We'll definitely sit down and try to play some games with people when there's time. There's lots of time, so we should make it work out. So I think that's mostly it. Anything else about our Gen Con?
No, hopefully we see you there.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good, so... Till then, Red 5, standing by.
What am I supposed to say?
I don't know.
What's after that line?
I don't know. Nice. All right, a quick hit here with what we love about ... We just thought it'd be fun to go over the Spiel winners. So this week, the Spiel des Jahres winners were announced. And so Codenames won the Spiel des Jahres, and the Kenner Spiel was Isle of Skye. If you haven't heard yet, I think most people have. And we just want to talk about what we love about those games. So what do I love about Codenames? I love that it won because it should have.
Yeah.
The other two against it were Karuba and Imhotep. And it was really interesting to listen people talk about why the other two might win. But everybody knew Codenames was the most popular.
Yeah, but it's in the American market. Like, I don't know what it's like. You know, because most of that's in Germany, right? So I don't know what the market's right. like over I see there, what you're too.
Saying. Yeah. But I mean, as far as I heard, Codenames sold 400,000 copies this year.
Yeah.
Which basically puts it right, you know, second to Monopoly.
Yeah. But the Spiel numbers usually, like the Spiel Award usually bumps that higher.
Right. Yeah.
Which so is a scary thought. I don't know how it can sell more
right.
than
it. It won't benefit Codenames in that sense, right? Like Codenames is already selling itself. It's a $20 price point.
Yeah.
So it's already set to do that. But still, it was interesting. I think I sent you guys a little message, but I was looking up the 1-star reviews of Codenames on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it's people like, this is a kid's game. This is terrible. It's the dumbest. It advertised as an adult game. Well, they didn't understand that you could give a clue like monkey 2. So they were just saying like, you know, bird 1, and then somebody would point to eagle next turn. So they didn't even say 1. They just said a word, which obviously then the game has it's just password. It's just back and forth. It's just back and forth. And it's like, well, unless you miss a guess, you win. And I'm like, it's amazing how if you just miss that rule, the game is so simple, you lose the whole game.
Well, that's what you had as an experience with like teaching it to, like, you know, kids or a younger group too, right?
Right. The concept of connecting two words overwhelmed them, so they just gave one clue at a time, and then it's just not an engaging game because you're not trying to stretch your imagination or your mind or your thinking or anything. So
I love, like, this game's just, Codenames is so easy to get to the table. And I don't know if I've had a game that's gone over poorly. You know, like, granted, there are some times where, you know, people aren't getting as into it, but I've been happy every time I've played it. Like, I've been happy with the game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, when I look at it, you know, Karuba is a fun game. It's super light. Mm-hmm. And Imhotep was very interesting. And, you know, obviously in the American market, it jumped in at the last minute a month before, you know, this award was announced. So I think people were just kind of like playing like crazy. Oh, that was really fun. It's the last thing on their brain. But like you said, I brought Codenames out at parties and it doesn't go away for 3 hours. Board game parties,
right?
You know, or events, not just a regular party. But it just stays on the table. People just keep cycling back to that table, back to that. You know, they'll move on, play something else, and the game just stays out. So it was by far the most deserving game.
Yeah.
Not to discredit the other two, but, you know, it would have just been strange to me, like,
yeah,
you know what's happening there. So
so then they'll have, I guess that's why I'm excited about Codenames Pictures,
right?
I wonder what they'll be able to do next.
Yeah. Right, you're already kind of thinking what's the next
sounds. Codenames tastes.
Code Games, maybe they'll try to market that and you can get some money on that.
I'm sure I heard that from something else, right? It was just fun to play that.
Yeah, it was good. So the Kenner Spiel is a little more interesting because you had Pandemic Legacy and Time Stories, two of the most popular games of last year, losing out to Isle of Skye on this Kenner Spiel. So the Kenner Spiel kind of calls itself the strategy game of the year. It still doesn't tend to fall into the medium heavy. It tends to fall to that, not typically light, but that medium, you know, medium light. So, in that sense, Isle of Skye makes the most sense. And it's a great game. I have really found that every play of Isle of Skye makes me more excited about the game. You know, for the most part. So it's definitely one of those games you play and you're like, oh, that was neat. Did I just play Carcassonne? But you really didn't play Carcassonne. It's just because it lays these little tiles that look like it. And then you start kind of getting the auctioning and you see a little bit more and the tiles get more interesting and what you're trying to go for, and you appreciate the variability, and it's pretty easy to teach people, so it's fun in that sense. It's one of those games that's easy to teach but has, you know, a good amount of strategy and thinking. It's hard to say with Pandemic Legacy and Time Stories. It's interesting if this committee is 20 people, like, do they really even have the time to commit to those two games to play fully, to make a choice? I mean, it seems like everybody, I'm air quoting, in the board game community has played Pandemic Legacy or had, I mean, that's not really fair to say because there's people that refuse to play it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know, like, why does Isle of Skye beat out Pandemic Legacy when it, you know, it's the number one game on Board Game Geek, but of course these aren't the people voting, and it's, you know, it's an awesome game. The time commitment factor is interesting. So if you're trying to promote something to people like, hey, you like chess? Try this game. You know, Pandemic Legacy might not be the best next step to go to, whereas Pandemic might be better.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I were voting on something like this, or if I picked a group of people to kind of, you know, choose from these three games, I'd almost think the, like Pandemic Legacy and Time Stories have a similar feel where it's not just a standard, like, heavy strategy game or something, right? Like, I'd almost picture those two kind of canceling each other out, like one taking votes away from the other or something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's valid, but that's what my assumption is, where it's like all of a sudden those two kind of cancel each other out and the only one left is Isle of Skye.
Right.
So, I don't know, was it you who mentioned, like, maybe it would have been better to have them as nominees or something like that, or... I don't know. I'm glad they got recognition.
Yeah.
I think I personally would have picked, you know, probably Time Stories, I guess, out of those three. But that's out of like a limited play session. Like, you know, the base game, but that only lasts so long. I don't know. And Time and Pandemic Legacy, we haven't finished yet. So, and Isle of Skye, I just think it was fun. I don't know. It doesn't make me want to get it back out, but I wouldn't be upset about playing it.
Isle of Skye?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think it's a really fun game. I think people should try it. And I always say this, but I love Alexander Pfister. You know, I still stand by Mombasa. This is my favorite game I played this year. We just finished up playing Port Royal with Guildhall today.
Yeah.
And that's a really fun game. Oh My Goods is a really good system that kind of we're finding, you know, isn't quite what you want it to be, but it's a neat design there. Yeah.
Should we bring Broom Service?
We need to try Broom Service. I was just thinking the same thing. That one, Kennerspiel last year, we've never played it, so be a good one there. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's what we love about the Spiel winners. I'm not upset. I don't feel like... I'm probably the same as you. Time Story seems to be my favorite. We have more limited play with that. We've done the first one and started the second one, but it's been the most engaging, kind of rewarding in the end. But Isle of Skye, I think, is a great game, so
yeah.
So it's neat that it won. So definitely check that out if you haven't. And Codenames, I'm glad they picked it because it would have just been fake in my mind otherwise.
Right.
You know, just some kind of stunt for the other games, which would be great if they were able to sell more. I'm not mad about that, but Codenames was just the best game of last year.
Right.
So, yay. There we go. Nice. That's what we love about the Spiel des Jahres winners. All right, there we go. Episode number 25. Red 5, Standing By is in the books. We are done. And I guess next is just pack and go to Gen Con. So we're on our way. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Well, not packed, but... I'm excited to go.
You'll be packed, like, at midnight before
when this
we leave.
Is posted, right?
Yeah.
No.
We'll go from there. I'll try to have this posted soon, so. So, yeah, if you're going, drop us a line. Hopefully we'll meet up with you there. If you're not, then drop us a line. We'll meet up with you afterward. Got the library event. Be around the store. Still doing the Thursday thing for us. Groups there Sunday. I think there's some groups there Saturday, so definitely check it out. Board gaming is on the rise. Super fun. This is just a great time to be involved in it because I'm beside myself. Let's go now. I'm ready. Let's just
we
leave.
We get there really early.
It would be a little early. We can play games for a week. We have really, families.
You get homesick.
I get homesick. Yeah, I'd be home before.
I'd be homesick too.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it. Great talking to you guys. We will see you around. And until the next episode, we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on July 24th, 2016. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com, and thanks for listening.